Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got some things coming up. Obviously, John Robinson no longer being the GM. That's one that we'll speak about. We're going to preview Titans-Jaguars with Michael DiRocco, ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter. We're going to get a little more into that John Robinson situation with Chris Sanders, forever Titans receiver on Run TMC. David James over there hitting the switches.
Yes, sir.
Man, we'll start and touch a little bit on this Eagles game. I guess we'll do that. And this was a game, and I know, like, in talking to, you know, some of the Eagles players after the game, they took offense to everybody saying the Titans were the most physical team in the league. Brandon Graham, he took offense to the reporters calling Derrick Henry King Henry. When he came off the field, he was pointing at all of them, and he said, "You called him King. You called him King. I know you called him King. Who's the King?" The Eagles had something to prove in this game. And that front, and it's funny because I always talk about the Titans front being like I Am Legend, you know, the zombies chasing Will Smith. Well, that Eagles front, that's what they were. Fletcher Cox, Big Fletch, he still got it, man. It was good catching up with Fletch in the locker room afterwards. BG as well. There was a play where they had a Conquer just kind of like come out, and Chig had to block Brandon Graham. And, you know, that's a situation where you got to understand things. Brandon Graham has that bull in a china shop type of power. I don't necessarily think that I would have put Chig in that situation. Nevertheless, he was. Brandon Graham did what is expected in that situation, and then he sacked Ryan Tannehill. But you look at Josh Sweat. Dennis Daly had a tough game. I got to talk to Daly on Wednesday, too, and it was a good – I told him up front, you know, I said, "Hey, man, you know, I asked Mike Vrabel about you after the game, like making a move." Yeah. I'm not going to – look, anything I say when someone's not there, I need to be able to say when they're there. So I told him, you know, I asked about a shift along the offensive line, and I mentioned your name. Is that something you take personally? And he said, "Absolutely." You know, and it's all fine and dandy to take it personally, but, man, like, you can't have – you look at that series, you know, Chig has the 40-plus yard play. They're finally in scoring position. One of the few times they were, you get the penalty, the false start, and then you give up the sack. Next thing you know, it's a 35-yard field goal. And that was the last time the Titans got anywhere close to scoring position. Big problem there. Josh Sweat, 1.5 sacks. Brandon Graham – yeah, Javon Hargrave, I believe, had one. Again, you have Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. Then, oh, yeah, by the way, you drop a 6'7", 350-pound rookie and Jordan Davis in the middle, and you got just a recipe for a disaster. And they just kept coming and coming and coming. And the thing that's crazy, right, come to think of it, I didn't even see Derek Barnett, you know, Brentwood Academy player. He's kind of fallen out of favor with them, but, you know, it's just they have so much, man. So you look at that, and then you look at the linebacker play. N'Kobe Dean didn't play much, but he had, you know, some tackles. Reed Blankenship, MTSU,
getting
his first start. He had a pass breakup, and then he had a good tackle to stop. I forget who it was, but he stopped him. That team is legit, man. And then you look on the outside, man, James Bradbury is a solid corner, but Darius Slay, that's handcuffs right there. So you got it. They're in good shape, man. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles win the Super Bowl. And I will say this, they dominated. They dominated the Titans. And then you look on the other side of the ball, I mean, all the false starts, that was something. But, you know, they were able to neutralize the pass rush. The Titans have 3 sacks in the last 2 games. The secondary, you know, Trey Avery actually has a concussion. I don't know which play that came on, but That's what he popped up on the injury report with. But Trey Avery was in great position on two plays. First, the touchdown. AJ just knew when to put those hands out at the last. He always calls it, you know, receivers, we call it late hands. He threw the late hands out there, was able to make the catch, and to be able to secure it off of the DB's shoulder like that, outstanding job. Then you had the touchdown. He just, you know, kind of ran through Christian Fulton, and that's a tough situation. But that, I mean, AJ's 225, 230. It's tough to stop that from going where it wants to go, and Fulton was caught in a bad situation. I'm curious why there wasn't more safety help over top. I don't know, but, it, you know, end of the day, AJ had, he had his way. And the thing that I like that they did, they got him the football early. It was like the first series, you know, within the first three or four plays or so, he got a catch. And that's what you have to do in a situation where you know that it's emotional for your receiver. You got to give, because he'll check out. It's just the way receivers are. But that was a good job there. You know, you had Devontae Smith operating. Awesome route on Roger McQuarrie. You know, Chris Sanders always talks about lying with your eyes. And you know, he ran, looked him in the face, and then looked to the corner, stuck his foot in the ground, and cut back inside. And there was already a big cushion. It was just a tough situation. And he scored the touchdown. That was the opening score. Then to think they didn't have Dallas Goedert either. So you talk about a chock full of weapons. They had all those weapons and didn't have one of their best ones in Goddard. So, yeah, Eagles, you know, Jalen Hurts, 380 yards passing. Tried to tell folks that he was a legit quarterback.
They don't listen.
It's not about proving them right. It's about proving them wrong. It's about proving me right, man. And that's what Jalen's doing. So, that's the summary there. I mean, the Titans went in with a game plan to keep Hurts and that rushing attack from dominating, and they did that, but the pass defense was just – the Eagles rightfully did what was supposed to be done. You look at a team, the strength, the weakness. Okay, the strength of stopping the run, no problem. Pass the ball. That's what they did. But it was a great homecoming. You know, got to catch up with a lot of friends, man. You know, had some good times. So we'll put a ball around that and just move it forward to the actual news at hand. And that news is John Robinson – no longer being the GM. And that decision, it was about more than just A.J. Brown. I know, you know, some of the people I talked to, they pointed out the disappointment that the organization has overall in the roster that Robinson assembled. And, you know, it starts with 2020, Isaiah Wilson. That pick, just the dude's not even in the league anymore. And then you look at 2021, Caleb Farley, Dylan Raidens, you know, first and second round. These are guys that, you know, were expected to have starting positions. Neither of them did, despite being penciled in, penned in as starters. It didn't happen. So that, and then, I mean, you got to kind of peel it back and roll back to other situations, right? You look at first round picks, okay? John Robinson, and I'm not coming on here to beat J-Rob up, because you guys know, J-Rob, that's my guy, man. Good people. Just calling a spade a spade. There are zero first round picks on a second contract with this team. Zero. And they had what? Seven, Conklin, Corey Davis, Adoree, Rashawn Evans, Caleb Farley, Treylon Burks, Jeffrey Simmons, Isaiah. Had eight cracks at it. Eight. Conklin moved on. We know that. Big deal. Corey Davis moved on, got a big deal. Adoree Jackson was released to avoid that $10 million fifth-year option. Isaiah Wilson, not in the league. Treylon Burks, Jeffrey Simmons, Caleb Farley is still incomplete, although the Farley grade is leading more towards, you know, a non-passing one, pending how this back situation works out. But Jeffrey Simmons, if I'm his crew, I'm saying, listen, you got a chance to break a curse. I am the first round pick that's going to re-sign. let's make it happen.
Yeah.
But it got to be at least $32 million. You know, and that's, it's going to be that negotiation process. So you got that happening. 29 players were drafted. Only five of them have made it to second contracts. I'm talking about overall. That's a waste of draft capital. And then you wonder why this team is in cap, not hell, but cap trouble.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're not filling in the youthful play, you know, filling in low cost young players for your high profile, your Roger Saffolds, your Jack Conklins, three picks in one position. Dylan Raiders, Isaiah Wilson, Nicholas Petit Ferrer, all for a right tackle. Can't have that. Won't have it. So you have those issues, right? Mike Vrabel. I could tell you what a relative. Well, I'll say this. There was a split in the building on Vic Beasley. There were people who absolutely wanted that to happen. Now, I reached out to some people, not Vrabel. I reached out to some personnel people, and they said, no, he's not our type of guy. I'm not going to sign him. And then they signed him. $9.5 million. Didn't get a full season. Jadeveon Clowney. And I understand the risk with Clowney. Hey, I mean, look, you need a jolt to your defense. You sign the best guy on the market. I think $12.5 million. Didn't get a sack. Had injuries. Played 8 games. Problem. Okay, you want to jolt the passing game? Trade for Julio Jones? Yeah, we know how that one worked out. Then, in the mix of all that, you signed Danico Autry. 3 years, $21 million. Excellent move there. He has proven to be worth even more than that. Then you also look at, before this year, the A.J. Brown trade. You draft Treylon Burks, very capable young receiver. Heck of a catch he made also against the Eagles. You wonder how the game would have gone if, you know, because at that point, you know, it was a back and forth, you know, 7-7. Wonder what would happen if he played the whole game. But you can't go back and look at the past, right? So with that, all of the moves, right? The bottom line is the roster, there was disappointment in the roster. What does that say to the rest of the team? Well, Mike Vrabel actually spoke about not what it said to the rest of the team, but he just shared his thoughts on the situation, you know, and his involvement in the roster and what the Titans are focused on now. Here's Coach Vrabel.
Again, John and I have and had a great relationship. He included, I appreciate how he included the coaching staff in the evaluation process. Ultimately, I reported to John. John was the general manager. We communicated each and every day. So our focus is on the roster as it stands today, the guys that we have, the players that we're moving forward with to get ready for Jacksonville.
So do you feel like that roster construction was as much yours as his, or almost?
I think that we're all involved. Everybody here in this building, you know, is responsible to do everything that we can to help the players and make sure that I'm doing my job to prepare them and make sure that the message is clear, the keys to victory each and every week, and how we need to play to win the football game.
Do you feel like you had enough involvement in that construction of the roster?
I'm sorry?
Do you feel like you had enough involvement in the construction of this roster right now?
My focus is clearly on the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is like, what do we need to do? Who's going to be available to look back and to reflect. My job was to do everything to support the personnel staff wherever I could, to make sure I coordinated the coaching staff and ultimately get the players prepared.
Doesn't this go on
this week? You know, I mean, this is, you know, again, the timing and the change is never easy. We recognize that. We're looking forward to it. The players had a unbelievable attitude. You know, they're looking forward to getting back into football, you know, after having lost. And you know, we try to explain to them that, you know, we started the season 0-2. We won 7 of the next 9 games. We lost, but the 2 losses were against the teams that played in the AFC Championship game. After 9 quarters, we lost 2 games by 7 points. And we went on the road and got beat by a better team. So I'm going to try to keep things in perspective. I've asked them to do the same thing and understand where we are and the opportunity that lies in front of us.
So that was Mike Vrabel. And one of the things that was kind of unique to me is anytime it got to, hey, what's up with your involvement from the past? He said, well, I'm not going to look back into the past. But he did look back into the past on a few other things. So it's just that's a tricky situation. He said that he was informed of the decision. It wasn't made as far as, like, he didn't have any input on the evaluation or anything like that. So take that for what you want. But when you have a move like this, it's clearly a huge move. It sends a message to players. So I asked Kevin Byard, I asked Jeffrey Simmons, and we'll just give you those guys back-to-back so you can hear their reactions as far as what the message is.
Make sure that, you know, don't let this be a distraction. Try to go out and go win a football game. I shot John a text yesterday when I found out about everything. But, yeah, he just wanted us to make sure that, you know, as me personally, just continue to lead. And like I said, don't let the news, you know, become a distraction.
A move of that magnitude, what type of message does that send to you guys in the locker room?
Because
you know how sometimes, like, you change a quarterback and you get that spark.
Nah, exactly.
This is a GM, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, nothing's really changed. I mean, I don't – as of right now, I can't say or not, but, I mean, I'm still going to have the same guys out there on defense. Obviously, I have some injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, these decisions, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see the guy who drafted me get fired or whatever, but it is what it is. We got to respect that decision. So, like I said, I'm just trying to make sure I'm doing the best I can as a leader to just not let it be a distraction. Like, we get to talking about this conversation, that conversation. Like, hey, we got the Jaguars this week. Bottom line, we got to find a way to get an 8-5.
That's kind of, I don't feel like it's just affecting us right now. You know, like I reached out to J-Rob, and I know it's not just affecting him, it's affecting his family as well. But at the same time, we all have a job to do. And just like he told me when I talked to him, go win the freaking game. So our job is to keep and find a way to win the game. So I don't, like I said, the emotions might be there for a lot of guys, but, you know, we can't let that get in the way of our goal. And that's, and I'm sure J-Rob would want the same thing. You know, like he's told me, go find a way to get a win. So, like I said, our job, especially as leaders, as these guys on this team, is to find a way to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jeff, you guys see roster change, like, week by week. You know, the roster's turning, but it's not often the GM gets moved. Like, what? How do you take that? Like, what message does that send to you guys here?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do your job. I mean, our job is to play football, and that's the only thing I can control right now is the way I approach my job. I don't know, like I said, I don't know the ins and outs of the reason why it happened to him. I can't speak on that. So my job is to, how can Jeffrey Simmons do his job so he can make sure he where he's supposed to be. So thing, like I said, when it comes down to that, we all have to just do our job. And I mean, that's all we can control, and then that's what we need to be focused on.
I love that right there, what he said. Okay, there's three things you could control in any situation, right? That's your attitude, your effort, and your actions. His attitude is, I can't control it. I'm going to do everything I can to do my best job. His effort is going out there and doing it. And the actions, that's being ready to go. Have your ankle tape. He was limited in practice. Have your ankle tape. You know, being ready to go, and you get all three of those. So excellent job on Jeffrey Simmons' part. I wanted to, you know, kind of break it up, touch on that. John Robinson has been very good to me and to the media. Much respect there. I appreciate what he did, you know, for the organization and for us as media people, you know, always kept it 100. So, yeah, John Robinson is a guy who lost his job, but he is going to resurface. I believe that. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be back with Run TMC. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
For you,
fresh.
Here they come. Uh-oh. That music's fading. The lights are dimming. Where are we going this week? Coming to you live from Salt Lake City, Utah. Starting at power forward, number 35, Antoine Carr.
And now, the starting linebacker for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, no.
Tom Jackson.
You know one thing I wonder about Tom Jackson?
What?
Why didn't he ever get a chapstick commercial?
Man, he needs some
mortal. Yo, he needs some. You know what he needs, man?
What's that?
He needs some armor on.
Dude, they look like some old Newman gloves. There you go. Man, what's up, dude? How you doing, man?
Yo!
What you doing? Are you good, man? What's going on?
We hey, man.
What the heck is going on, man? You got to laugh.
Yeah, you know what?
Stuff going on.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I'm minding my business. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had just talked to somebody. I was like, yeah, I'm about to get this workout in, and you know. And she was like, all right, yeah, go do your thing. My phone buzzes and I look. John Robinson fired.
I can't believe it.
You talk about coming out of left field. I still didn't get that workout in. You know what I mean? But you talk about coming out of left field.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess we'll start it with your initial reaction when you heard that.
Dude, I was sitting in my office, man, just kind of chilling, just kind of going through some work and everything. But it's the same thing. When that came across the screen, I was like, huh? So I looked around. I'm like, man, am I getting punked or something like that? Because
right.
Like, this, I thought it was a room. I thought somebody was just acting silly on Facebook or Instagram. But once I started to dig into it, I said, you got to be kidding me. Because it just came out of left field. I can understand if they were 1-13, 5 losing seasons, but all of a sudden you're 75, have a chance to make a deep run in the playoffs, and you win the AFC South three times in a row. It really took me back to be like, what the heck is going on?
So, I mean, what would you make of the situation? Like, you hear that, you see it, and you're like, okay, what?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I was listening to Mike Vrabel's, you know, press conference, and he said this. He said, change just happens. But why now? You know what I'm saying? Why make the change now when you're 7-5 and I know everything's not going like you want to, but you still have a winning record and you're still winning games. I know the last two games that, you know, they didn't play well, but at the end of the day, the job, the key is to win the AFC South, but also make a run in the playoffs to try to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, there's got to be a reason. There has to be a cause, and there has to be a purpose. And I think none of those questions haven't been answered. What's the reason? What's the cause? And what's the purpose of letting him go at this moment?
Okay. So, all right, here's the deal.
Yeah.
There was some credence to the A.J. Brown situation,
okay,
right? That failed trade.
True.
But then what I've gotten was the direction that the roster that Robinson put together was not something that they liked.
Okay. But can I read this?
Go ahead. Reply to that.
No, because you said something profound. She said that she didn't like the direction.
Well, that didn't come from
going, right?
She said there's a standard that they want to elevate to. But from what I, not her, but people that I spoke to, they told me that the roster itself, there was disappointment in the roster and the direction that it was going, and two specifically came out. Isaiah Wilson, 2020.
Okay.
Caleb Farley, 2021.
Okay. And let me read this to you in her statement that she left for everybody. She said this. She said, I want to thank John for his dedicated work to set the organization on an upward trajectory, and I wish the best for him and his family. So upward trajectory means that you're going up and up and you're not going down. So if you don't like the direction of the team, and you're disappointed in the Isaiah Wilson and the Caleb Farley and all those things, then why did you give them an extension in February?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I understand, and the reason why I'm saying is because your side is valid, everybody else's side is valid. I just want people to understand that if this organization isn't what you wanted, like what you said, then why'd you give them 4 more years in February?
Yeah, and you know, I would imagine that those are years that are going to have to be paid out. So, and I would imagine it was pretty lucrative considering, you know, what they were coming off of.
Absolutely.
So when you look at the disappointment in the roster, as you mentioned, if that was something that, well, you know what has changed, though? Because, as I said, the Caleb Farley part of it.
True.
Farley was supposed to be a starting corner this year. And in camp, things changed.
Yeah, it did.
So I wonder if that started it. And then guess what? Another part of it, because it's not one, not two, but three draft picks to one position, right?
Right.
Isaiah Wilson, in and out. Dylan Raidens, okay, you're going to be the right tackle. We're going to give you the job. But just in case, they drafted Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. So we're talking a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third-round pick. The third-round pick. So now you spent three picks on one position.
Oh, yeah?
That's another part of the disappointment. But do you think those things, trading for Dennis Daly, who, you know, has struggled, and then seeing A.J. Brown do what he did, do you think that collectively is what it was?
But can I break it down to you a little bit, too?
Break it all down.
They got Isaiah Wilson, right? They got Caleb Farley, right? They got Daly, right? They got Raidens, right? How many losing seasons have they had?
That would be zero.
That would be zero. So even though you might think the roster's bad, even though Isaiah Wilson didn't play a snap that many snaps, even though that Caleb Farley hasn't panned out to what you think, even Raidens, even all those things, you're still winning the AFC South. You still have a chance to make a run at the Super Bowl. You're sitting at 7-5. Last year, I think they won 13 games. So if they were 1-13, 1-13, and 2-13 or whatever, then now you get them up out of here. But even though you're going through the situation with Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley, Raidens, and all those bad picks, and I say that respectfully, but you're still winning.
But
go ahead.
It goes back to what she said.
Yeah.
Elevating the standard.
Yeah.
Okay, you're winning. Right, it was okay. You went from the doormat to 9-7. Just write that down in the beginning of the year because it's going to end to the top seed in the AFC. Mm-hmm. But then you have back to back one game playoff exits in your building.
True. I agree. But
should there be an expectation to go to the next level?
Yeah, there is an expectation level. But here's the thing. J-Rob and Mike Vrabel, they both made decisions. So why is J-Rob the only one leaving? You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, J-Rob's is not going to make a decision to say, I'm doing this, y'all do what I say. If you don't like it, get the heck up out of here. They collectively had to come together and say, we should pick Farley. We should pick Isaiah Williams. They had to do that collectively. It wasn't that J-Rob was in a room by himself, you know, like you do when you're developing a film. By yourself, you have your glass on and say, I'm getting that guy, and whatever decision I make, that's it. No, he had to come together and say, what do you think about this kid? Can he help us? Can he make the decision? Can he help us on the offensive line? Can he help us at corner? Can he help us at safety? Can he help us at receiver? He didn't just do that by himself. So why is John Robinson the only one gone if both guys are making the same decision?
Yeah, no, I hear that.
And the reason why I say that is because, you know, something, and I'm saying this carefully, I'm not saying it actually happened, but something happened Sunday night at Metro Center in that facility. Something went down in there.
Yeah, and what happened, we don't know.
We don't know.
It's a real, real strange dynamic.
It's strange.
So let's factor A.J. Brown into it.
Sure.
Obviously, I'll say this, the first touchdown, that was just a really good play. He wasn't able to get his feet down, but then it came back. I asked Vrabel about that type of play, because, I mean, it's almost like, you know, the DB has a right to that space too. And I don't know that you could just run through them like that, but hey,
yeah,
it happened. I think in that situation, if anything, you just don't call anything, right? But they called Fulton for pass interference, and AJ made that catch. That's, you know, okay, it's a double move. He sat on it,
right,
whatever.
Right.
The Trey Avery one. Oh. That's just a case of late hands, man.
Late day. Oh, and come on. Somebody coach me up, coach.
Yeah, man. I mean, he specializes in that. That's something that, you know, he always does. And that was just a real good. And it's funny because he said that the visor that he wears helps. How many times, and I don't know if you used to do it, but I used to do it. Like, I'll be running, and, like, when I want to make the DB think that the ball's coming, I would make my eyes get big.
That's live with your eyes.
But, like, he's looking, and he's, so he's thinking, that's lying with your eyes, that the ball's coming. So he said that his visor keeps the DBs from seeing his eyes. He didn't even know the ball was coming. But more importantly, those late hands, like, he put them out at the last second, and that's what allowed him to track the ball, get under it, and get in position, and just, boop, snap that thing out the air, man. So I thought that was a really good play. Like, Trey Avery was in position.
He was.
Can't do anything about it.
Let's start from the get-go, TD. Why, I know it was a cover four shell. I think it was another cover four shell, but they were playing man-to-man on the outside.
Right.
Why in the heck would you go man-to-man on that play?
This is where I wanted to go, because I'm asking you, all right, going into that game, and I understand that Jalen Hurts running the football, you know, they just came off of something crazy, 363 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you, especially knowing what he is, like, wouldn't you have, like, put some type of double team or something in, like, bracket something to keep AJ from killing you?
Something, man. I'm not letting him beat me. I let Smith beat me. Smith is good because he has over 100 yards. You have Watkins that play pretty good. I mean, he has some dangerous weapons. So you sometimes, I think they thought in their mind that you can't double him. But when you know that he's in a red zone, he's a red zone master, and he's going to make some plays. And I just think that you got to figure out a way to double. I know sometimes it's kind of hard to really, you know, double outside. If he's in the slot, you can kind of bracket him. It's kind of what we're talking about. But I'm going to come up. Number one, I'm going to come up and get in his mustache. I'm going to try to jam him and get him off his spot for just a little, or keep him, you know, the rhythm, back the rhythm off a little bit so he can be off his route a little bit so he wouldn't get those long routes and didn't have a safety over top. So now if you disrupt the timing of the route, it's going to be hard for Jaden, for him to get the ball. So I just think that they had to be aware of that. I'm not saying that I will be better at that, but I think that when you have a guy like that, at that caliber of making plays and doing that, you got to figure out a way to stop him because he's that type of guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think you have to be aware. And in this situation specifically, knowing that's another thing. I wonder if the realization was there, what's at stake, you know? Like, I wonder, did they realize, like, hey, you know what? This guy goes off. That could be the last straw. I wonder if they realized that because.
But did we ever think that, though? Your boy had a big game, that J-Rob was going to be gone?
We didn't think that, but you never know what's going, like.
I know.
You know what type of pressure is being put upon them. You know what I mean? So I wonder if that pressure that was put on them was, hey, you know what, show out or get out, you know?
Let me ask you this question, TD. I'm going to put you in the hot seat. Can you handle the truth, boss?
Hey, I get fresher under pressure.
Do you think it was the right move?
No. Not right now. And I get, because some of the people have said, hey, you know, the roster is trash, this, that, and the third. And I get your emotional response to a two-game losing streak. But let's not forget, like, it was just 3 weeks ago that, you know, they beat the Packers and everybody's like, hey, wait a minute. This team is legit.
Yeah.
They stuck with the Chiefs in Kansas City with Malik Willis. So it's just interesting to me, the sudden shift.
Yeah.
And what also stands out to me is I remember when Derrick Henry got hurt and Todd Downing of all people, he had the best statement. He said, we're not just going to jerk the wheel on the offense.
Right.
This was a jerk the wheel move. Like, you really, like, jerked the wheel on this one. So I'm just saying this. you look at what John Robinson has done, and I know there have been numerous, you know, whether it's Kevin Dodd or Vic Beasley or Jadeveon Clowney, Julio Jones, Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, we could keep going and going and going. This guy has built a roster that's it's able to compete. And just last year, they were tops in the AFC, the number one seed.
Let me give you something to think about, TD. You can have a great roster and still suck. And I'm gonna give you a perfect example. The Raiders have a phenomenal roster. They got playmakers on the outside. They got a great defense. But why are they not a good team? Because you can have a whole bunch of great players, but guys not adapt to the culture.
Yeah.
Even though the Titans don't have a great roster to the eyes, but there's a culture that's built that whoever steps in there, we expect you to win. And I think that's the difference. And I think that's what we're missing. They don't have the rosters, we don't have a name, and you know, all that crazy stuff. But Mike Vrabel has built a culture that whoever gets in that position, if it's wide receiver, offensive line, defensive back, that we expect you to do what the starter does because that's the culture. Even
right.
though the roster doesn't look good, we're still winning games. Even though the culture, even though the roster's not good, we're 7-5. Even though, you know, our roster's not good, we're going to win the AFC South. Even though the culture's not good, we're hosting a playoff game.
And there's something to be said for the ability to recognize what it is your head coach, like his cornerstones, his pillars, right? You recognize that and you find guys to coach. Because it's not an accident that Andrew Adams comes in here and plays well. You know, it's not an accident that Mario Edwards, DeMarcus Walker come in here and play well, right? And I know in talking to both of them, they've said it's, you know, coaching, right? And I'm finally in a place where I could really just showcase my ability. That's what they said. So I think, you know, finding those guys and then the staff coaching them up the way Terrell Williams has done, the way – Anthony Midget and in Adams' case specifically Scott Booker, the safeties coach, and the way they've done, I think it was a really good marriage. And that's why this fracture where you don't have Robinson with Vrabel anymore, that's why it's just so interesting to me.
Yeah, but look at when the Patriots were winning all those championships. There was only a couple of guys on that team. I'm talking about later on when they won. I know they had those other guys. But later on when they started winning those championships, there's only about three or four guys that you knew on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the culture that made it so good. They had a quarterback. They had Tom Brady. And they had a couple of players. They had some receivers and some defensive backs and some defensive line guys. But the reason why they were so successful is because the coaches built a culture of we expect you to do your job and be versatile and make plays. And I think that I take my hat off to Mike Vrabel because he built a culture of unknown guys but getting the same results as they were first rounder.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they come together. You know, like Voltron, right? They come together and to, you know, collectively they're a strong unit. I think that's the bottom line. So, hey, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll spin it forward. Coach Vrabel was trying to get us to talk about Jacksonville, but come on, man.
Come on, man.
We're not going to do that the day after the GM got fired. So.
You had some good questions, man. You sound like Tyrone Hill, man, and Al Jarreau. So you was good, man.
I was out there singing.
And you woo, woo, woo.
And you woo, woo, woo. He had me cracking up with that. Hey, man, you got me singing on here, man. We're going to get out of here. Go ahead. Get your jabbing. Come on.
Hey, man, I was looking at TV, man. I was sitting there watching TV. I was sitting there with my son. He was like, "Dad, you know TD?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, he's a great, you know, guy. He knows a lot about football, everything." Then all of a sudden, you know, Al Jarreau came on TV.
Oh.
He was like, "Man, you know, TD looks like him." I said, "Nah." And then the old Rockets, when they won in 1995, Sam Cassell's face come on there. He's like, "Man, he looks just like TD." I said, "Son, he looks just like him."
Hey, Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports. When it comes to sports, it's all happening right now. Football, basketball, hockey, and now the World Cup. And there's no better place to wager on all of it than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Aaron Brewer, and we're talking with TD.
Living my best life.
That is forever, forever, that happy music, Lil Duval. So you know where we're going, to Duval, and we're going to, on the Chevy GMC, that's the Sarah Chevy GMC Buick of Nashville Hotline. We're going to bring in my guy, man, ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter, Michael DeRocco. D-Rock, what's going on, man?
Not much, TD. How are you?
Hey, I'm living the life. You know, my day on Tuesday was your year last year. Right? You know.
Yes.
To a lesser degree, because the Urban Meyer experience, I'm sure, like, that's a ride that's unlike any other. So I could only try to empathize with you a little bit more, you know, just having the GM fired out of nowhere. Man, that was a crazy day.
Oh, man, the thing that I'll always take from the Urban Meyer firing last year, which I think will be a year next week, was that it happened at 12:45 in the morning. And I'm like, why can't anything ever happen at like 4 in the afternoon? Why do we got to go to 12:45 in the morning? So staying up waiting for that. But, yeah, it's a crazy business, man. But it was fun, I guess, for a little bit.
Yeah, and it is a crazy business because, you know, what's so funny about it is, like, we get to take a lot of time off, you know what I mean? And everybody's like, oh, man, you don't ever have to work, yada, yada. It's like, yeah, you're right, we don't have to work much. But when it's time to work, guess what, man? That time is just going to be that time, and it doesn't matter when that is, so... That's the topic. That's what's going on here. But, I mean, you got a little something on your plate as well. The Jaguars, their quarterback is dealing with an injury situation. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a sprained left big toe. He didn't practice on Wednesday. But Doug Peterson says he believes he'll practice at some point this week. You know, Trevor Lawrence was in there in the meeting with us earlier on Wednesday, and you know, he didn't have anything on his foot. He was wearing his, you know, regular sneakers. He was out there on practice field watching. And, you know, he came into the locker room and then he put on some sort of little, it's not a protective boot. It really kind of looks like a protective sandal, to be honest with you, just to kind of keep his toe from flexing and stuff when he's walking and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, Trevor said he expects to play on Sunday, little sore, but, you know, they're just going to keep giving it treatment, and then we'll see how it goes. But the expectation around here is that he'll play.
So one of the things that you wrote about recently was the L's being lessons for the Jaguars. And I tell you, it's interesting because this team honestly reminds me a lot of the 2016 Eagles, whereas they continuously lost close games. It's been, five games have been like a point or so? Or something crazy like that, a one-score game. What have those lessons, do you feel, like, has taught the team?
I think the biggest thing is that they just have no margin for error, and that you can't take a play off. You know, you can't blow the assignment. You have to be as perfect as you can be, because you don't know at any point when the play that's going to be the deciding play comes. And I think that, you know, when you got a lot of young guys on this team and guys that, you know, are just kind of average players, to be honest with you, which is the most, you know, the bulk of this roster, you know, the play right there in front of you is the one you have to make. And when it's presented, you got to make it. You know, for example, like Darius Williams had an interception in his hands against the Lions, inside the 10-yard line last Sunday, and he just let the ball slip through his hands. Now, I don't know if they win that game if he makes that interception, but it's just those little things like that you have to make those plays. You have to do the little things that good teams do to win games. And, you know, they're learning the hard way, too, that, you know, sometimes your game plan isn't, you know, the right. Sometimes you learn that the game plan is wrong, and the things that you were expecting to happen don't happen, and you have to adjust. And that's been a problem for this team, especially defensively. They're not able to adjust as quickly. And sometimes they make no adjustments at all. And part of that is personnel, obviously. But, you know, you have to be able to adjust on the fly in this league. And, you know, that's not something this team does very well defensively anyway.
Mm, that's an issue. That's an issue. But, I mean, it's Titans and teams. They don't really offensively rebound in the second half. They're 31st in the league in second half points. So we'll see how that works. But just staying along the lines and just like how things go full circle, right? We opened up talking about John Robinson getting fired. Okay. A big part of that was A.J. Brown and not being able to retain him. A big part of not being able to retain A.J. Brown was what? Christian Kirk's $17 million a year deal. So I got to ask you, what's up with the $17 million a year receiver? How has that return on investment gone so far?
You know, I don't know that we say, you know, worth every penny, but certainly he's on pace for career high in catches and yards. And, you know, he's been by far their best receiver.
Okay.
You know, he plays inside and out. And I think, you know, once they're able to bring a Calvin Ridley in next year, if Calvin Ridley is the same kind of player he was in 2020, you know, then all of a sudden they've got much better talent on the outside, and Kirk can kind of move back into the slot more, maybe even full-time, which is where he's really at his best. But he's been by far their best receiver. And, you know, he's had a couple of games where, you know, he had two catches, three catches, and then they realized, hey, look, you know, this is our best guy. We've got to get him the ball all the time. So let's make him the priority in the pass game. And, you know, last week he had a good game. Six catches, I think over 100 yards. You know, they lost the game. Obviously, the offense wasn't great, but he was probably the best player out there at that point. So they're happy with what they've gotten from him, and they're just, like I said, hoping for once Calvin Ridley gets here next year that they're able to kind of move him back inside and you know, do a lot more things with him.
And we're talking to Michael DeRocco, ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter. D-Rock, the offensive line, obviously, you know, you got a first-round pick in Juwan Taylor, you know, big money in Brandon Sheriff, Cam Robinson. What is the situation with this offensive line? Is that an area of concern when you're going against the Titans D-line that features Jeffrey Simmons?
Well, yeah, because he's always a concern no matter how good your offensive line is because he wrecks games. But, you know, the tackles – you know, for, I want to say, two-thirds of the season were pretty darn good. And Juwan Taylor, you know, had been, you know, a guy that gave up 40 sacks in his first three seasons. And there were times when he was their best offensive lineman this year, not because the other guys were struggling, because he was really, really playing well. You know, but in the last couple of weeks, the tackles have struggled a little bit. Trevor Lawrence got hurt on a play in which Cam Robinson, the left tackle, got beat badly. So that was a concern. But, you know, the interior has been pretty solid. Luke Fortner's a rookie, and he's been, you know, solid. I mean, it's hard to come in and play as a rookie center in the NFL, and he's done a pretty good job. Now, this will probably be, you know, a really good test for him, obviously, you know, against Simmons. But, you know, the biggest difference has been Phil Rauscher, the offensive line coach. They brought him in this year, and the guys have really responded with him, and it's been a better offensive line this year than it has been the last three or four years. So, you know, it's still not a great offensive line. It's probably above average, but, you know, Trevor Lawrence gets the ball out pretty quick, so that he's not getting sacked a lot, not getting hit a ton. So from that standpoint, you know, they're much better than they have been the last several years.
Doug Peterson, in my 2 years covering teams that he coached, he seemed to be, you know, like a good person. Didn't know him off the field, but he was good with us. What's been the difference, right, in just your job and how you're able to do it with Peterson as the head coach as opposed to Urban Meyer?
Well, it's nice to be able to ask the head coach why somebody may or may not be playing and have them actually have an answer instead of, hey, just go ask the running backs coach.
Really?
But, I mean, Peterson's been great to deal with. You know, he's personable. I mean, we go into press conferences and he has answers for questions. And, you know, he's explaining things. you know, to us so that we, you know, kind of understand it. And it sounds like a little bitty thing, but it just, you know, Urban, it was tough to get any information out. And, and you just kind of got the feeling that he, A, didn't want to tell you, and there was some stuff that he didn't know, which he should have known. And, you know, Peterson's just, the players, he's a 180 from Urban inside the locker room and inside the facility. And the players are just, you know, over the moon for him. You know, the atmosphere inside the building, not just in the locker room, but everywhere in the building, marketing, ticketing, business, sponsorships. It's just completely different than what it was from last year. And, you know, they brought him in, and the first thing he said to us, you know, in the press conference was, this team's got to heal. And, you know, apparently, you know, you're talking to players, that pretty much happened in the first month of them being back all together in the spring with OTAs and stuff. So they've really taken to his style, which is certainly not the screaming at the assistant, screaming at the player style that they all dealt with last year. So I think the atmosphere inside this facility and in the media room, too, is much, much better than it was.
Has he talked about ice cream? Yo, that it, you got to ask him about ice cream. He loves ice cream, man.
We haven't talked about ice cream as much, but I do know I owe Trevor Lawrence one, because at his introductory news conference, Trevor had some ice cream delivered to the news conference for everybody. So, you know, we were like, okay, well, we, you know, I had a little fudge bar there, and we thanked Trevor. And but Doug Peterson, he like his favorite flavor is like vanilla, right?
Yep,
not
yep.
even like
yeah,
a
basic vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll you know, let me have some Rocky Road or something.
Right, you got to put something in there, man. Like, only a savage eats just pure, unadulterated vanilla ice cream. But that's besides.
There is, by the way, an ice cream machine in the press box.
Is there?
On game days, yes. But that's been there for a couple of years. But this year, it actually works. There have been some times when it hasn't worked. This year, it works.
He made sure it works. Well, that's the final trip of the year, so I'm looking forward to that. The defense, let's talk about them real quick. Obviously, you know, Josh Allen and Walker, that was a combination that they were looking to put together and wreak havoc on opposing offenses. What is going on there? How is that front looking?
Really not much has gone on there because it's been a huge disappointment. You know, they took Walker, and he played some outside linebacker at Georgia, but he was mainly an interior defensive lineman and a big end kind of guy. And they moved him to outside linebacker here. So he's not a pass rusher. So they knew here that it was going to be a process of getting him transitioned to outside linebacker, getting him up to speed as a pass rusher. And that takes time. It's not like one off season that you get that. So he's sort of, you know, his numbers aren't great this year. And, you know, he doesn't have any pass rush moves. He doesn't have any counters. So he's not been as effective. Now, he's a really strong guy, and he's been solid against the run. So, you know, he's been okay in that area, but he's just not making the impact as a pass rusher. And, you know, Josh Allen, who's in his fourth year, seventh overall pick in 2019, has just been a non-factor as well. And neither one of them get to the quarterback. Allen's got a bunch of pressures, but he doesn't finish. And, you know, everybody talks pressures are more important than sacks. And yeah, I guess to a degree, but man, you got to finish sometimes, man. He had a wide open shot on Jared Goff last weekend and he just whiffed. And it's like, you got to finish those. Those are the plays that change games. Those are the, you know, the sack fumble and, you know, the defense recovers, you got a short field and boom, you've got seven quick points. And they just don't make those plays. And, you know, he's on the fifth year option next year, $11 million. And, you know, I don't see any long-term contract for him here. He's just not an impact player. So they're just not getting any pass rush. And they're on pace for, I think, 27, which would be even fewer than last year when they, I think, had 32. So it's, you know, quarterbacks have been able to kind of sit back there and pick them apart. And you know, pass rush and coverage goes hand in hand. Yep. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why the secondary is struggling a little bit, too.
Linebacker Devin Lloyd, I thought he was a fabulous player there at Utah. How has he done as far as becoming a playmaker for the Jaguars?
Yeah, he's struggling right now. His head's spinning. He is getting lost in coverage. He's getting distracted by the motions, you know, that offenses do, and he's taking one or two false steps in one direction. And when that happens, you've got a problem. You can't catch up, even as athletic and as fast as he is. And, you know, the guys are if you've seen the game, the Chiefs had a touchdown pass to Kadarius Toney out in the flat where he, like, literally hopped into the end zone on one foot. There was no one within, like, 25 yards of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Devin Lloyd blew that coverage. So he got benched for Chad Muma, who is a third-round pick out of
BYU.
Wyoming.
Oh, and, Wyoming. Okay, yeah.
And, you know, Chad struggled last week, too. He got kind of caught up in that. They get caught up in staring in the backfield. They get caught up by the eye candy mm-hmm. that the offenses throw at you. So they're just kind of spinning. And they're, you know, when you can't have guys blowing coverages like that all the time, and that's what's happening. So, you know, they're going to try and simplify some things for the guys, I guess. That's what they've talked about. But, man, you just – when you got guys that don't know where they're supposed to be on any given snap, that's disaster. And that's kind of where they are right now.
Yeah, that's too bad. So, speaking of coverage, let's shift over to the secondary and – we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter Michael DeRocco. What is going on? You touched on the pressure up front being non-existent. Is that really just a bottom line problem with the secondary? Or is Tyson Campbell, Andre Sisko, and those guys, are they not covering?
Campbell's been pretty good this year. He's certainly improved the ball location skills that he really struggled with last year. You know, and at times this year they put him on the opposing team's best receiver. But, you know, Mike Caldwell, the coordinator, wants to play a lot of man press or press man coverage, but they don't have that personnel. The other side, Shaq Griffin, is out, and he was really struggling at the beginning of the year as well. So he wasn't effective, and now you're rolling in Monteric Brown, a sixth-round pick, and Trey Herndon's played some over there. You know, Darius Williams has really struggled in the slot, so they've just not been able to really play the kind of coverage that Mike Caldwell wants. So they're playing a lot more zone right now. Sisko at safety has had some moments where he's been really good, but he's also had some moments where, you know, like he's in the opener, he didn't get over quick enough to prevent the game-winning touchdown pass against the Commanders. DeSean Jackson got free in the secondary a couple of weeks ago because he, again, got caught on the wrong side of the field over there, got lost, and DeSean Jackson caught a big pass that actually set up the Ravens for a potential long winning field goal that they didn't make. But I mean, it's been sort of that kind of season for those guys. And, you know, like, you don't get pass rush and you got guys missing coverages and guys not where they're supposed to be, you get a team that gives up 40 points to the Detroit Lions. And, you know, you can't win games like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, the game will be interesting. You look at the Titans, you know, Danico Autry is probably going to be out. And Treylon Burks, we'll see if he clears concussion protocol. So this is the first of two. So I'll be seeing you twice in a one-month span, man. Hope we can handle that. You know what I mean? That's a lot of energy in one room at the same time.
I'm telling you. just promise me that it won't be 35 degrees this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I can't make any promises about that. But I will say this, on Wednesday it was 67 degrees and rainy, so we'll see what happens.
It was 81 today here. So,
oh, man. Yeah.
On Wednesday. So, and bright and sunny, and I was like, why am I not on the golf course at this point? But Trevor's toe kept us off the golf course, I guess.
Yeah, we got to tell that toe to get right. And, you know, the thing, it's the left toe, too, so that's the one, you know, his plant foot when he throws, too, so that's something to keep in mind for those of you that are listening.
Yeah, and I think they're going to rig something up to sort of kind of be a protective thing in the shoe. But, you know, they're not at that point yet. But I think that's what they're going to do because, you know, quarterbacks get their feet stepped on occasionally, and that's the last thing you want with a bad toe.
Ooh, yeah, that would be a bad situation. Well, hey, man, D-Rock, hit me up when you get into town. You know, we'll see what's what, man. Maybe grab hot chicken. I don't know. We'll do something, man. Just hit me up, man.
I will, TD. Thanks for having me, bud.
All right, no problem. Appreciate you. So that was Mike DeRocco, man. Always good to talk shop with D-Rock, man. That's my guy, man. Cool dude. As you see, he loves the golf course. That's his thing, I guess, living in Jacksonville. That's a habit that you develop. But appreciate D-Rock coming on. Appreciate Chris Sanders coming on talking shop, and hey man, David James over there hitting that thing, making it work.
Yes, sir. It's always fun.
You know what we do. And then we also got to shout out each of you. Make sure you check out Whiteboard Wednesday, right? We got a breakdown. It's time to get Chig Okonkwo more touches. So I looked at something that, you know, the Chiefs did. So check that out. They did that against the Jaguars. So that's on there. Got plenty of John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, all of that content. So check on ESPN.com. Click on the NFL. Click Titans, and there you'll find it. You'll hear us on 102.5 The Game all week. Man, never stop recording. That's what we do. Definitely check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, search Talking With TD, rate, review. We appreciate you.